It's funny because Pastor Sonia, in her Sunday school lesson today, the I have mindset kind of had me laughing because the Lord had me to revisit something from a while back. And I was like, why? Because I thought I came up with something pretty good. And then I heard her Sunday school and I began to understand. I began to understand it all. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about let's be the church for real. Let's really be the church. When I tell you that this has been a week and a weekend of warfare on so many different levels, trust me when I say that doesn't even begin to explain it. And what I've learned over my 15, almost 16 years of pastoring is that when it is intensified like this, when the hell is hot like this, something powerful is most likely about to happen. I've learned that there is usually a God moment about to happen. And I don't know about you, but I get excited about the God moments. Amen. Amen. Church, I need you to understand that we are at war. Not just petty dislike of two different parties or people groups. No, beloved. This is a battle between righteousness and unrighteousness. This is a battle between good and evil. This is a battle between heaven and hell. And what I need you to know, Growth Temple, is that we and every other blood-bought, Bible-abiding church in the world has been drafted into this battle, and that means you and me as well. And it is critical that you know this because it will explain a lot of the hell that you've been going through. It will explain the attacks on your health, on your finances, on your children, on your peace. Amen. I don't mind attacks on a few things, but when you begin to attack my peace, that's attacking my peace hits different. Amen. It stops me from being able to sleep at night. It stops me from being able to enjoy a good meal, the company of my beautiful wife. You attack anything what you want to attack. Just don't attack my peace. See, when you're at war, it changes everything. Your stance has to be different when you're at war. Your priorities, they have to shift when you are at war. Your posture has to change when you are at war. You can't share everything with everybody when you're at war. Lord, have mercy. You can't share everything with everybody when everything is going well. Amen. So you know you can't do it. When you're at war. And the first thing that you have to inspect when you know that war has been initiated, the first thing that you have to inspect is you. In the military, they have companies, and in the companies, they have four platoons, and in the platoons, you have four squad leaders. In the military, every morning, there is something called formation. Before the sergeant comes out, every platoon is in formation, and the squad leaders will walk down the rows, their rows, to make sure that every soldier that is in their row is on point. And whatever issues that need to be addressed, the squad leaders will help the soldiers with those issues before the sergeant gets there. Why am I sharing all of this with you? Some might be wondering. And the reason that I'm sharing this with you is because we are at war. And it is time for this company to fall into formation. Platoons have to be assembled, and squad leaders, you have to start going down the rows, making sure that every soldier in your squad is on point. There can be no weak links in the formation, because just like weak links will get you killed in America's army, weak links in God's army will be the reason that the enemy is able to steal, kill, and destroy the people of God. Yeah. Oh, Lord. So the nursery has to be up and running, layered with God-fearing women who take their commitments seriously, because they understand that in the nursery on Sunday mornings is the beginning of our tomorrow. They're over the babies. And I don't care if the women are just have the babies watching Superbook or playing on TV and teaching the baby songs like, yes, Jesus loves me because the Bible told me so. The babies have to hear the name of of Jesus. The children's church. The children's church has to be operating on all cylinders, and there's need. There needs to be a time of consecration for every soldier in that part of the children's church army, where every teacher is setting aside 30 minutes or an hour every day of the week to work on their lessons, because they understand that they are teaching and preparing the future of our church. And if they walk into classrooms with an uninteresting, quickly thrown together presentation of our Lord and Savior Jesus, our children will sense that. They will be turned off, and you will be doing no more than babysitting and teaching, and it will be your fault. We are at war. Youth and young adult groups are the very next people group up. So if you're not poured into on a constant, they will just continue to lose interest, and Satan will continue to have his way. It's scary to me that over half of the youth, that when they turn 18 or move out of mama and daddy's house, over half of them don't continue to come to church. And do you know why? Because for 18 years, they had no choice but to go to church, and they witnessed a train wreck most weeks operating under the guise of church. And now that they are grown, they don't want nothing to do with it. And if I'm just being real with you in here today, I can't even blame them. So, beloved, I need you to understand that Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes not except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And in order to steal something, it means that one has to get past the security that's in place for whatever it is that's trying to be stolen. Can I go ahead and tell you something and then ask a question? The enemy is out to steal your sons and daughters, your precious grandbabies, and he does not care how young they are and how cute they are. He's just trying to steal them. Now that's why now in elementary schools all over America, you see little boys holding hands with little boys and little girls kissing on little girls, because he is stealing, or he's trying to steal their identity, their God-given identity. Oh, it's quiet in here. Amen. I done stepped on somebody's toes. God doesn't make, I need you to understand, beloved, God doesn't make any mistakes. And if he made you a man, then a man is what you're supposed to be. If God made you a woman, then a woman is what you're supposed to be. God is not a man that he should lie nor have to repent, nor does God make any mistakes. This enemy that we're at war against, this enemy that we're at war against is out to destroy your marriages with pornography and adultery and crazy ideas in the marriage bedrooms, like, you know, how about we bring somebody else up in here, you know, and let's kick it together, you know, let's spice it up. The devil is a lie. If your relationship needs spice, hot sauce yourselves and enjoy each other. Lord have mercy. I'm just saying that the enemy is not just coming, but he's here. And the question is, what are you prepared to do about it? Yeah, what are you prepared to do about it? As he's running rampant through our school system, what are you prepared to do about it? Maybe it's just me and my wife, but we sent our baby to school and our baby came back and she wasn't the same baby that we sent to school. You understand what I'm saying to you? And we had to sit her down and say, listen, I know you heard this and I know they said that, but I want you to understand we live by the book and the book alone. Amen. What are you prepared to do about the enemy coming into your camp trying to steal what God has blessed you with? Jesus says in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. And you need to understand the formula. Once you understand that after he steals you, your children, your family, your marriage, your health, your finances, he has another plan. It doesn't just stop with being a thief. And that plan is to kill them and then to destroy them. And when you destroy something, I need you to understand it cannot be restored. The word destroyed is defined as to ruin, to spoil, to render useless, to tear down or demolish, to break up, to put an end to do away with, extinguish, to kill, to annihilate, to crush. Lord, have mercy. Tell the truth and shame the devil. How many of you have sat in this very church and had to mourn someone that the enemy had stolen, killed, and destroyed? And if you didn't have to sit in this church, you had to choose another another church to go sit in where somebody, where the enemy had stolen and killed and destroyed. Well, let me help you out. If you ever went to a funeral where they died of overdose, the enemy stole, killed, and destroyed them. If you ever went to a funeral where one person shot another person and one person's in prison for the rest of their life and the other person ain't never coming back, then the enemy stole, he killed, and he destroyed. And I just come to ask somebody today, what are you prepared to do about what the enemy is doing to our children? We are at war, and if we're ever going to come out victorious, we're going to have to be the church for real. It will no longer, you know, it blows my mind that we got a church on every corner. But have you ever noticed that where all the churches are is where all the hustling's going down? I call me old or whatever, but I remember a time when you didn't even cuss on the same street that a church was on. Amen. It didn't make no, never mind if it was a black church, white church, Latino church. You didn't even drink your beer while you was riding down the street till you passed the church. I don't know what that was all about, but you, there's the house of the Lord. And then you get down two more stoplights and then you go ahead and guzzle it. But there's a fear, there's a respect that has dwindled. There's been a lack of a standard when it comes to the blood-bought believers in the church that we body up in. Is there anybody in here that understands what I'm saying to you today? That the enemy has been successful in his plot to destroy us. It will no longer be enough to just show up when you want to. Give a measly piece of money. Shout amen, cry, then go back to everything but Jesus on your mind. It ain't working like that no more. The age of ignorance is over. The Bible says that in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse number 20, in the New Living Translation, it said, God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and to turn to him. It's time, no, it's past times that the platoon of Growth Temple get into formation, all squads solid, and not just when we are in church, but everywhere we go, we ought to be in formation. Everywhere we go, we ought to be representing God. Everywhere we go, people ought to see the Christ in us, military minded when it comes to the enemy, not giving place to the devil at all. We are at war. Lord, have mercy. Let me give you my focal text, and I promise I'm almost done. Let me share with you what the Lord shared with me for you. Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47. I heard Sonya was kicking some of her verses today, some of her favorite verses, but this is the jump off for me. This is the bomb. This is every pastor's, it should be every pastor's favorite passage because it gives us the formula. Somebody say the formula. It says in Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church, somebody say daily, those who were being saved. As a pastor, this is absolutely my favorite passage of scripture, simply because it gives the vision of what the church is supposed to look like. But it can only look like that if we're operating in the same mindset as the people of God were operating in back then. You know, this morning while I was in the bathroom getting ready, I heard something that I knew was from the Lord, even though my wife was every day, she's playing some type of Christian movie or Christian cartoon. And I'm like, if we're going to do the Christian thing every day, let's at least just do real people. Let's do movies. And she's not with her. No, ain't no limit. She do the cartoons as well. And she was had this cartoon on, and it was called Superbook. And it's a Christian cartoon, and she's actually raising my grandchildren up on Superbook because it tells all these amazing stories about the Bible, and it explains it in kid-like terms to where they just sat there, man, and they're just locked in. Superbook, for those of you that know you already get your baby's copy, amen. And so whatever the situation was going on in the cartoon, for some reason, these words stood out to me. One character said, "This is going to take longer than we thought." And I heard his partner respond back at him with a grunt, and he says, "We are going to have to change our strategy." Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. This is going to take longer than we thought. And his homie said, "You know, we're going to have to change our strategy." Some of you were here when I declared to you that we was going to have this building full in a year. Well, as you can see, that didn't happen. And I find myself saying, this is going to take longer than I thought. But I also feel in my spirit that we're going to have to change the strategy. And the strategy doesn't need to be reinvented. The strategy is right here in the scriptures, but it won't work if we don't work it. Now, this passage of scripture in the New King James Version is entitled, the verses I just read you, it's entitled, "A Vital Church Grows." A vital church grows. And then it goes into the previous verses that I just read to you. And the word vital means absolutely necessary, important, or essential. Absolutely necessary or important, essential. Another definition that I found was something that is necessary to a thing's continued existence or operation. Something that is necessary to a thing's continued existence or operation. And I couldn't stop there because I'm a definition guy. And another definition that I found says vital means having remarkable energy, liveliness, or force of personality. Okay, so let's deal with that because honestly, I could preach the definition. The passage of scripture is entitled, "A Vital Church Grows." It was a church that was vital. In other words, it began to grow, before it began to grow, it was already vital. It was already absolutely necessary. How many of you understand in here that we need some real churches? Amen. It is vital that we have some real churches out here in the earth realm, because if we don't get some real churches and some real church folk, we gonna be in, we already in trouble. Lord, have mercy. It was a church that was small in number. Remember, only 120 gathered in the upper room. But after an encounter with the Holy Spirit, it's not just a church anymore. It's a vital church, and it's a church that is necessary. It is needed, and not just needed, but absolutely needed. In fact, it was a church that was necessary to a thing's continued existence or operation, and that thing was Christianity. So the church was necessary if Christianity was going to continue to exist. You get that? The church is necessary if Christianity is going to continue to exist. And get this, church, like the Bible says, church is necessary if Christianity is going to exist. Not church how we have it today. We church when we want to, church where we want to, church how we want to, church for as long as we want to. And that's about as long as this lunch special is going. Let me stop. Listen. And I just want to suggest that we are in this dispensation of the Holy Spirit, the age and time of the Holy Spirit, and the same Holy Spirit that took the old church from church to the vital church is the same Holy Spirit that's with us now. And if we would just yield ourselves to him, we would be vital, and he needs and desires for us to be vital. And get this, the last definition says that vital means having remarkable energy, liveliness, or force of personality. In other words, we shouldn't be a church. Shouldn't be a church in existence that's dead. shouldn't be a church that claims to uphold the bloodstained banner that should be dead. You shouldn't be falling asleep in church. You understand what I'm saying to you? There ought to be a lively thing going on. It ought to be a force of personality, a remarkable energy. Lord, have mercy. There shouldn't be a dry moment in service. If the praise team sings every song out of key, if the person across the room don't wave at you as you take your seat, if the pastor doesn't say your name in the sermon, none of that should stop your praise. None of that should be the reason that you walk into the house of the Lord not having remarkable energy, liveliness, or a force of personality. Do you understand? We are at war. We're at war. And I heard somebody say that praise confuses the enemy. Amen. And so since this is, any of you in here got an enemy? Anybody in here getting tried by the enemy? Satan's just every time you turn around, it seems like he's knocking at your door. Well, if that's the case, and it seems like you ought to keep a praise on your spirit, you ought to wake up. Shando babashe. You ought to wake up. Praise the Lord. You ought to be in Walmart with spiritual Tourette's. Thank you, Jesus. Ain't God good? And all that type stuff. You understand what I'm saying to you? Lord, have mercy. If you know that you have an enemy, then you ought to have a praise deep down on the inside of you that every time that enemy comes your way, you've got something to up jump and combat it. You ain't got to be cute. You ain't got to be slick. All you got to do is say, God will, God can, God has, and God will again. The devil is a lie. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. Oh, God. Listen. You ought to walk in here every Sunday having remarkable energy, liveliness, or a force of personality. You ought to hit the work scene tomorrow having remarkable energy, liveliness, or a force of personality. People asking you on the job site, what's going on with you? God's going on with me. He woke me up this morning and he started me on my way. Y'all don't want to have no church in here today. I ain't fooling with you today. I got to baptize some people. Listen. You shouldn't have, can I just go ahead and say this? You shouldn't have to get blessed to be blessed. You shouldn't have to have it all going your way to know that God is on your side. When you can learn to trust him when you can't trace him, then you'll be able to walk around despite the situation, bringing God glory, because whatever the season, you will be found having remarkable energy, liveliness, or force of personality. We are at war. How does that happen, Pastor? How do you walk around going through hell but a praise on your lips? I'm glad you asked. Step one of the formula, verse number 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The New Living Translation says it like this. All the believers, watch this, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. See, we got this thing mixed up. We got this thing where we think because we go to church, we solid. Amen? We go to church, we got to be solid. But I just come to tell you that you can go to church every Sunday and Wednesday and whenever else the doors is open and not be any closer to Jesus than the man on the moon. I remember growing up in the church as a child and all of the people, you know, my uncle was a pastor. He was a pastor in Louisville. And I noticed that everybody was, every time Sunday school was going forth, the house was packed. And then you had a 15 to 30 minute interval of time. And then the church service, it was packed. But on Wednesday night, watch this, everybody that you saw Sunday was going to be there too. And can I just go ahead and tell you something? And it just blew my mind. They wasn't just there. You see Lisa right there? And they was taking notes. And here's what I used to watch my grandmother do when she would bring me home from church. She would read the notes. See, we got this thing now where we take notes, but we don't read the notes. We got a whole notebook of nothing we've studied. But I took some notes. Them notes ain't been able to next level you. They ain't been able to prosper you. They ain't been able to encourage you because you never opened up the notebook. But back in the old days, in the old church, people was hungry for what God had to say. So they devoted themselves to the pastor's teaching. They didn't hear one thing and go, amen, and then go out and be hallelujah, then hit the streets and be hellish.
They were devoted. Devoted means I'm sold out to it. I'm all the way in. I'm committed. You don't got to worry about me. Whatever you say, I'm writing it down and I'm studying it and I'm studying it in my word and I'm learning and I'm applying it to my life. And on the strength of me applying it to my life, everything about me is changing. Everything about me is changing. Why? Because the Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how do you renew your mind? Through the word of God. And so if you are devoted to the apostles' teaching, if you are devoted to the pastor's teaching, and I ain't telling you to trust everything that the pastor say. That's why they got Bibles. You can read it for yourself. You use Google for everything else. Google to see if we're telling the truth. And when you see that we're telling the truth, then the next step in the formula is to begin to apply it to your life. When you begin to apply the scriptures to your life on a daily basis, things begin to change. Lord, have mercy. That's why I tell people, don't tell me this ain't working for you if you ain't tried it. If you ain't tried it for real, shut up. Don't you tell me this. Don't you tell me God don't work if you ain't tried him for real. And tried him for real don't mean every now and again and when it's convenient for you or when you just need something. You understand what I'm every day, whether things are good or whether things are bad, God is God in my life. You understand what I'm saying to you? And when you get to that mindset, you begin to apply everything that the scriptures say, and everything about your life changes. Lord, have mercy. It says all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And that isn't always easy to do today, as I'm sure it wasn't easy to do way back then. But after time, Growth Temple, the majority of you have been here long enough that you're trying the Spirit by the Spirit phase is over. When it comes to us and the pastoral team, you know that we are of the Lord. I don't think all my pastors are here today, but can my pastors and my ministers just stand up for a second? If you are a pastor or a minister in Growth Temple Ministry, out there, you just go ahead and stand up. Let me tell you something. You know how we get down. You know we walk this walk for real. You understand what I'm saying to you? So the question of you being devoted to the teachings on Sunday school or Bible study or the new members class or a first beginners class, none of that should be questioned because you have watched us for long enough. And you know we watch each other, right? Y'all know we watch because if you say you saved, then we're going to watch you because we want to see if that's true. And so you ain't got a fault. You ain't got a fine. You ain't got a word to say. So you should be devoted to what the preachers here are teaching, not because we are on some type of control tip, but simply because we want to see you saved. You can have a seat. Thank you. We want to see you saved. So here it is. I'm going to say it again. Like I said it last time, you can play the soft music. I'm almost done. Everybody's trying to figure it out. I keep saying this to y'all. Everybody's trying to figure it out. How do we walk blessed despite hell going on all around us? How do we do this? You devote yourself to the teachings. That Bible you bought, it's pretty, but it was never meant to be a centerpiece. Open it up. Study. Ask questions. There's so many ministers and pastors in this church. Ask questions. If you don't go to this church, ask your pastor questions. And then when he or she breaks scripture with you, then apply it to your life. Listen, it ain't about speaking in tongues, baby. It ain't about knowing Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. It ain't. Man, it is about having this relationship with God that means more to you. More to you than anything. The scripture says, for God I live and for God I die. How many of you mean that today? How many of you walked in here, if Jesus walked in here right now, how many of you would be like, come on, I'm so glad you're here. Let's go. I ain't knocking nobody and I ain't saying nobody lying. But heck, we don't even come to Bible study most Wednesdays. I got a hard time believing that if Jesus said, y'all ready? Everybody would just say, yeah. Huh? We got to get to this point where he is absolutely everything.
let us be the church for real. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Can we have Kenneth come down? Turn to the communion part of our service. Amen.